Call the Health and Human Services Conference Committee back to order tonight. You know, we went through the health licensing boards this morning, and thank you all for being here to present the package that you had. Representative Huntley and I have had some time to kind of work with staff and go through most of the requests and have a bit of a proposal.
Members of the committee and Senator Lori, I would like to move an amendment to the Senate language, Article 14, and that would be the A54 amendment. And what this is the amendment that includes all of the agreed to things from this morning's hearing for the boards. And you all have this sheet, I think, which has a simpler view of the dollars that are being appropriated for RS for the boards.
That's coming your way.
And so I would move the A54 amendment.
Okay. Representative Huntley moves the A54 amendment, and this is the lion's share of the appropriations that were suggested by the boards. Mr. Albrecht is going to step us through those that we kind of gave it a little bit of a haircut. Most of the special, the state government special revenue appropriations were accommodated with a couple of little reductions here and there. We did not feel like within our targets we could do any of the general fund appropriations at this time, so you will not find those in the A54 amendment. But Mr. Albrecht, could you step us through those that were not able to be funded? I think that's probably this spreadsheet that is being handed out.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the spreadsheet that's being handed out, the one that looks like this, shows the items that are reflected in the language and the numbers in the amendment. Focusing on the summary sheet that was handed out this morning that looks like this, the things that were either not included or changed. For the chiropractic examiners, the request for administrative staff was not funded. The amount for the lien evaluation was reduced by $5,000 to $15,000. The other requests for that board were funded. For the dentistry board, all of the requests were funded except for the computer rotation request, and the amount for the case manager in the HPSP was reduced to $81,000 each year, and the amount for the records management position was reduced to $58,000 in the first year and $52,000 in the second year. And that was the decision of the chairs to focus on the parts of the proposals that they thought were most essential to the board's advancing their mission. That's true in all of these proposals that were reduced. For the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy, the amount for the part-time licensing staff was reduced to $31,000 in the first year and $27,000 in the second year. And the amount for the ED position was actually maintained at the requested level. For the nursing home administrators, the rulemaking was funded. The retirement amount was funded. The base adjustment was reduced to $36,000. The amount for the IT staffing, equipment, and maintenance was reduced to $205,000 in the first year and $221,000 in the second. And the systems amount, the $1.4 million, was reduced, but that was more of a technical reduction reflecting the intended request to $1.441 million. The optometry board's request was not funded because the text of the proposal indicated that it was anticipating possible rulemaking in the future that would there will be another legislative session before they know whether or not they're going to actually need to do rulemaking. The portion for the pharmacy board is in Senate File 1034. The rulemaking for the physical therapy board was funded. The amount for the Board of Psychology was reduced to $45,000 each year. The amount for the Board of Social Work was funded. The amount for the Board of Veterinary Medicine was reduced to $32,000 in the first year and $26,000 in the second year. And the amount for the Behavioral Health and Therapy Board was reduced to $56,000 in the first year and $50,000 in the second year. And Mr. Chair and members, the rider text in the amendment basically outlines for each of the boards the intention of the legislature in directing the increased amounts that would be going to the boards.
For those purposes that they explained that these would be used for.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
So, in summary, on the chiropractic examiners, there was a $45,000 request, and we funded $27,000 of it. For the dentistry, between the dentistry board and HPSP, there was $262,000 of requests, and we funded $239,000 of that. $266,000 in '15, we funded $236,000 of it. Marriage and family therapy. 89 in the first year, we funded 86, 61 in the second, funded 58. Nursing home administrators, 2,229 requested, we funded 2,099,000 in the first year, 690 in the second year request, 659 funded. Optometry, as mentioned, there's another session before that could possibly be needed. We thought we'd hold on that. Pharmacy is carried elsewhere in Senate File 1034, and we could pick that up when we do the language around that as well. Physical therapy, fully funded. Psychology, $60,000 request in each year, $45,000 in the amendment. Social work, fully funded. Veterinary medicine, $40,000 request in the first year, $32,000. Granted or in the amendment, $34,000 in the second year, $26,000 in the amendment, and behavioral health and therapy, a $62,000 request funded at $50,000 in each of the years. So, I mean, it is most of the request with a little bit of reductions here and there where it didn't quite feel like as important for the purpose of those boards. Any questions of members? Representative Abler.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And so it's your intention to adopt the amendment to the Senate language tonight. And are we going to adopt that into the bill, or is it just we're just going to amend the Senate language tonight?
The intention is to adopt it into the conference committee report.
All right. I support what you're doing, and I'm happy you're giving this much consideration. I'm happy to support what you're doing. I'd just like to hold back the option that as these boards go back and digest what this means, can they do their work or not? Can they find somebody to work for that level of salary that they thought they needed more salary to attract a good staff that we could revisit this in a brief time?
Yeah, on the adjustments to staff, we didn't take away from the salary component. We said that they had typically some portions for office space that's, you know, we kind of assumed the office space already exists. They're going to use an existing cubicle within their structure was one of the ones, and one of the other ones that the internet connection components, you know, couple of things. It looked pretty fully loaded. We didn't reduce the salary on these positions. We looked at the full loading of it and said, you know, you already got office and you already got internet connection for the office that you're running, and you can probably do it without that. That was the approach we took on some of the.
And so, Mr. Chair, all I'm saying is, positions. And I appreciate that. Yep. It's just really interesting to me to the left of you on arguing this. I'm it's an. I appreciate your frugality, Mr. Chair. We'll need that later. Just if the boards go back and digest this, somebody might want to offer a comment. That might be me. So I just have worked a lot with them, as you have in the past too. So, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for looking at.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Senator. I agree with Representative Abler because I know we did spend quite a bit of time this morning going through this, but personally I didn't feel that I would have been ready to suggest cuts at the level that you have. And I don't know that, you know, I think –
well,
you haven't done anything drastic
there's no
here.
Cuts.
No, no.
These are all increases.
Yeah, no, sure, of course. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I mean, cuts from their requests to reduce the reductions to their requests. And certainly I don't see – you haven't done anything
right,
drastic
Representative
Vapor? Here.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a gross
right.
budget, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes. But I do think that it would be good, you know, if something here is really far out of whack, I think it would be good if they have the opportunity to – come back and tell us so before we finalize the entire report. Just so with that, I'm happy to support the amendment, and I especially appreciate that we're not doing the part that's a general fund appropriation. I think a lot of us had that concern, and that particular budget is very different, not only because it's general fund, but it's a much larger request. So I'm happy with that, but I do want to just leave the option that if some of this tweaking isn't, if it's an over tweak or a, you know, that they can at least let us know the response to it.
Nothing's ever done around here till May 20th, so we'll
hopefully by then.
Any other discussion on the A, what is it, 54 amendment?
54.
Seeing none, Representative Huntley renews his motion on adoption of the A-54 amendment. What's the prop? This will come back to me. The proper motion to get it into the conference committee report would be
just adopt
the A-54 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
We went along. We're almost done.
That closes up the health licensing boards. For now, there's language regarding health licensing boards in Article 10, but we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to, as indicated in the notice and earlier this morning, start stepping through Article 1. And as we step through it,
almost.
Oftentimes members who have been here for a long time know that we've often approached the Health and Human Services Committee by walking through the entirety of the bill, the side-by-sides, and then coming back and doing same and similar. We're going to do it a little bit more efficiently this time. We're going to be working through the side-by-sides, and for those that are same and similar and little controversy, we're going to go ahead and adopt those sections as we move through the bill. So with that, I'll turn it over to Council, and they can start stepping us through Article 1, Section 1.
Mr. Chair, we'll be working off the bill summary comparison that staff put together, the Article 1. The first section, Senate 1 and House Section 1, these are identical. Doesn't move. And it requires federal funding received by Minnesota for the implementation and administration of Minnesota Care as a basic health plan program. Should be deposited in the Health Care Access Fund.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 1 of the Senate language.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Next, Senate Section 2, House Section 2. This simply changes a conforming, makes a conforming change due to a section that is being repealed. And these are identical. However, the department has requested that we include a January 1, 2014 effective date.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 2 with the addition of the effective date, which is January 1, 2014.
Any questions on Representative Huntley's motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 3 and House Section 3. These sections require the commissioner to seek federal approval to operate a health coverage program for Minnesotans with income up to 275% and seek all and secure all federal funding that is available. There are differences that's usually these are similar except for, and it might help if you actually looked at the language on this, it's paragraph E that is different. If you turn to R2 of the language, and look at paragraph E that or on R3, I guess it's on that page. The House refers to the report on progress on implementing the subdivision. Senate refers to reporting on the progress of receiving a federal waiver and on making any legislative changes necessary to implement the waiver. And the report is the due date of the report is different. The House is December 1, 2014. The Senate is 2015.
Or you can just tell her.
And the Senate adds the paragraph C there. That
oh, they didn't want me to go. I don't know.
Is it no? Which one is it?
I think it's. At
I'm
the,
sorry.
It's at the sentence is at the end of.
Yes, you're
e.
right on E. Yeah. Any implementation of the waiver what that requires a state means financial contribution shall be contingent on legislative action approving right. the contribution, and that's not in the House. And if we do accept the Senate, the commissioner of MMB has an amendment to that Senate language that I could pass out.
We don't have to adopt it, right? Each section.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's technical difference. If you want to hold on this and look at the differences, we can certainly do that.
Let's hold on this and take a look at it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Just in the grand scheme of things, I think this is one of those, even though they're identical in the House and Senate, that going to 275 is a choice that we're making about where we spend a fair amount of money in the tails and even in current. And so if we only went to 200, for instance, or if we didn't do the Minnesota Care Enhanced thing at all, not that I'm suggesting that, but it's just one thing I don't have to provide anybody with is what the cost of these choices are. And you can adopt it or not, but it's one thing I wanted to talk about at least at some point, what we've done. And we can always undo it if you choose later. I know it's the will of leadership in the House to go as high as they can on this number because I know what their persuasions are. But I just want to mention that by doing some of these choices, you're taking money that could have been used for another pot of our responsibility area. So we're doing quite a bit on the healthcare side and less on the disability side and the continuing care side. And this is where some of that money is going. And so I'm just telling you that in a direct but kind way. That
I think we're going to hold on Section 3.
But I mean, but choosing 275 compared to 200, that's actually...
It's asking the commissioner to seek federal approval, see if that
right.
works for us. In the Senate, I guess we do have that additional language saying that... any implementation of the waiver that requires financial contribution has to have legislative action, you know, before it would be effective anyway. So we can talk about that if we were to adopt that. There is a technical amendment that that MMB would like us to consider, but we'll just hold on that.
Right, and Mr. Chair, I'm not even discussing the idea of a waiver. I'm just discussing the whole choice about how we're populating the benefit set, co-pays, and those sort of things, much like what we saw on that basic health plan sheet. And I'm trying to get the department to help me get some data on that, just so you know. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay. Section 4.
Okay, we'll hold on that. Senate Section 4, House Section 4, this is identical. It adds a definition of caretaker relative into the medical assistance statute.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the identical.
Well, we're going to move adoption of a handful when we have 3 members from both sides to
to
adopt it. I just looked and found that we had.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'd hate to have your motion fail.
Chair Huntley had asked me when he had to leave to vote to take over.
I just hate for your first motion to fail.
I would hate for that too, especially on an area of such commonality.
Right.
So
we'll go on to Section 5 and describe it, and when we'll have 3 members soon, I'm sure.
Senate Section 5 and House Section 5, these are identical. It adds a definition of an insurance affordability program. Senate Section 6 and House Section 6, that's identical. It requires commissioner to accept applications by telephone, mail, in person, online, and other common electronic means. Senate Section 7 and House Section 7, this is identical. It modifies this section to conform with ACA in terms of defining a dependent child to include children under the age of 19. Senate Section 8 and House Section 8, these are identical, requiring the commissioner to accept self-attestation of pregnancy unless the commissioner has information that it is reasonably compatible with that attestation. Senate 9 and House 9, these are identical. It modifies the section to clarify that an infant is eligible under MA if the infant is less than 2 years of age and is in a family with income equal to or less than 275%. We would take the House effective date on that. Senate Section 10 and House Section 10, these are identical, modifies the section to clarify that to be eligible for medical assistance, that adults without children must not otherwise be eligible or enrolled in medical assistance under the aged, blind, and disabled eligibility category or as a person who meets the category requirements of the Supplemental Security Income Program. Senate Section 11, House Section 11, these are identical, extends medical assistance coverage to any person under the age of 26 who was in foster care on the date the person turned 18 years of age and who was enrolled in medical assistance while in foster care. This is an ACA conformity section. Senate Section 12 and House Section 12 is identical. This aligns the residency requirement with the federal regulations under the ACA. Senate Section 13 and House Section 13, these make coordinating changes to conform with the ACA related to the MA income with families with children methodology. And the department and staff would suggest taking the Senate with a January 1, 2014 effective date. Senate Section 14 and House Section 14 clarifies that the asset limitations only apply to certain individuals. The recommendation is to take the Senate. Senate Section 15 and House Section 15, specifies that a child under the age of 19 is eligible for medical assistance with income up to 275%, and a child ages 19 to 20 are eligible for medical assistance up to 133% of federal poverty. And the recommendation would be to take the Senate language with the House effective date, which would be January 1, 2014. Senate Section 16 and House Section 16 clarifies that the spend-down income standard for parents and caretakers and pregnant women, infants, and children ages 2 through 20 is 133% of federal poverty. It also strikes an obsolete language. This is identical except for technical differences, and the staff would recommend the Senate.
Okay, let's stop there and go back and adopt some of these maybe. Representative Loeffler, you want to move sections 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8?
I'd be honored to do that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Loeffler moves House sections 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. On that motion, any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then, Representative Loeffler, you want to move Section 9 with the House effective date?
I would so move along with the – should we go through some more identicals?
I need three votes.
We're back.
We could lend you
one. You need me, huh?
I need three votes, yes. Representative Loeffler moved Section 9 with the House effective date. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Page 4.
Representative Loeffler, you want to move Sections 10, 11, and 12?
I would so move.
Any questions of members? Seeing none on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Representative Loeffler, do you want to move the Senate Section 13 with an effective date of January 1 of 2014?
That is the staff recommendation. I would move that.
Okay. Any questions on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Representative Loeffler, you want to move Senate Section 14?
I would so move.
Any questions on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Representative Loeffler, you want to move the Senate language of Section 15 with the House effective date of January 1, 2014, as recommended by DHS and staff.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Section 16 we covered as well. Is that correct? And staff recommends Senate language for just the technical differences. Representative
Loeffler.
So move,
Mr. Chair, I'd move the Senate language on Section 16.
So any questions on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. All right. Senate, or Section 17 is where we
left off. Section 17, Senate Section 17 and House 17 are identical, requires the commissioner to make an annual redetermination of eligibility based on information contained in the enrollee's file and other information available to the commissioner. They're identical.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 17, the Senate language, the identical language.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 18 and House 18, these are identical, requires the commissioner to utilize information obtained through the electronic service established by the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and other available electronic data sources.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the identical language in Section 18.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate 19, House 19, these are identical. It modifies eligibility for infants up to the age of 2 and inserts the modified adjusted gross income methodology as required under the ACA.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the identical language in Section 19.
Any questions on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
On the top of the next page, this is a House-only Section 20 section. It adds a reference to using an equivalent income standard based on the modified adjusted gross income. The department would suggest to adopt the House language. I think the Senate just forgot, didn't do this.
Mr. Chair, I would move Section 20, the House language.
Any questions on that motion? Representative Liebling.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and with the effective date for the House, it says here, at least in the summary I'm looking, that the staff recommended the Senate.
You're on the next section. We're on section House Section 20.
It's a House only.
The top block there.
Thank you.
So we'll be there in 1 second.
Thank you.
Any questions on Representative Loeffler's motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate okay. Section 20 and House Section 21. This makes a conforming cross-reference change to the breast and cervical cancer eligibility section. These are identical except for the effective date, and the recommendation would be to go with the Senate effective date.
Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the identical language with the Senate effective date for Section 20.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 21, House Section 22. This requires the commissioner to establish a process to qualify hospitals that are medical assistance providers to determine presumptive eligibility for applicants who may be eligible. These sections are identical.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the adoption of the identical language in Section 20 of the Senate bill.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Seeing one aye and no nay.
Mr. Chair, I was just pointed out, too, by Representative Liebling that I said Section 21 and it's Section 22 in the House, and I think I said Section 20 and it should be Section 21 of the Senate language.
Yes. Okay. So
that's what you meant.
Let's, having voted on the prevailing side, move we reconsider the vote by which whatever happened just happened and make the proper motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to now move the adoption of the identical language as demonstrated by Section 21 of the Senate bill.
Okay, so on the adoption of Senate Section 21 of Article 1, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 22 is a Senate-only provision. This modifies the definition of institutionalized spouse and continuous period of institutionalization to reference the elderly waiver and alternative care programs. Hold on that.
Okay. We'll hold on that.
Senate Section 23 and House Section 23. These specify that certain non-citizens who are lawfully present and who are not children or pregnant women and who otherwise meet the eligibility requirements of Chapter 256B are eligible for medical assistance without federal financial participation. There are several minor differences here. The department would suggest the Senate language. The Senate adds a reference to persons ineligible for federal funding because of the immigration status. The House doesn't. And then the House adds the paragraph K, specifically providing MA coverage, and the department felt that wasn't needed, so would suggest the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, just a question on the House language. Does that then you're saying the language isn't needed, so it doesn't really have an impact on anyone if we were to abandon that?
Well, I think it's up to the department. I don't know. I mean,
Here's the department, Ms. Hammerstein.
I'm Susan Hammerstein. I work for the Department of Human Services. That Section K is actually repeated in the Minnesota Care section. It's an artifact of us not having Minnesota Care language when we first drafted this bill. So we would be duplicating that in two different places. We'll actually get more federal funding for those folks in the basic health plan in Minnesota Care than we would in MA.
And so?
It's best to keep it in Minnesota Care. It's not needed in 256.
So we could adopt the Senate language on this one and be in good shape.
Yep. Thank you for that clarification. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the Senate language in Section 23.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Senate Section 24 and House Section 24, these are some modifications to this section that talks about the health care delivery system demonstration projects. There are some minor differences here. The House requires that a health care delivery system verify that other providers and counties support the demonstration project and are willing to participate. The Senate doesn't have that language. The House requires documentation on how other providers and counties participated in development or developing the application. The Senate language requires a description of the involvement of local providers and counties in developing the application. There are some other minor technical differences other than that, but those are the two.
I think with our approach of adopting same and similar, these issues are probably large enough to warrant a further discussion on another night, so we understand the differences as far as today, but we'll hold on that item.
Senate Section 25 and House Section 25. This continues to permit the commissioner to contract with a single health plan to serve certain rural areas. These are identical except for a minor technical difference, and the staff would recommend the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language on Section 25.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
We move into Minnesota Care. And
yep. So, Mr. Chair, we'll now move to the Minnesota Care provisions. Section 26 in House and Senate define the Affordable Care Act, and there's some just some slight differences that are pretty technical in nature, and the department is recommending the House definition.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language in Section 26.
On that motion, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, Senate Section 27, House Section 27, this provides a definition of family to conform to the Affordable Care Act definition, and these are identical.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the identical language using the Senate Section 27.
Senate Section 27?
Mm-hmm.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, Senate Section 28 and House Section 29, this defines household income as having the meaning provided in the Affordable Care Act. The language is identical.
Mr. Chair, I would move the adoption of the identical language using Section 29, House.
Okay.
I'm going to go back and forth.
I do have
different numbers.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I had a question where House Section 28 went, but it's coming up next.
Yeah, the section numbers diverge occasionally.
Yep. So, I'm sorry, Representative Loeffler, you moved
the identical language and using as a base the House Section 29.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
And Mr. Chair, the Senate Section 29 and now House Section 28, and these are just kind of coding differences.
Yep.
This defines the Minnesota insurance marketplace, and there are technical differences, and staff would recommend the Senate on that.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language on Senate Section 29.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 30, House Section 30, this provides a definition of participating entity, and these would be the entities providing care and under the Minnesota Care Program beginning in 2015. This is identical language.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of Section 30 of the House bill, which is identical.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 31 and House Section 31, both bills basically require the commissioner to ensure that information on medical programs is on the department website. It also makes some conforming changes. There is a difference. The House language provides that nothing in Chapter 256L is intended to violate the Affordable Care Act, and it also prohibits the commissioner from implementing any provision that violates the Affordable Care Act.
And DHS had a recommendation on this one. Is that correct, that take the Senate language but have an effective date of
with federal
January
approval 1? After 2014 effective date with federal approval.
Or federal approval, whichever is later, correct? Is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language on Section 31 with an effective date of 2014 pending with federal approval, and I'm not sure I picked up the last language.
With effective date of January 1, 2014, or upon federal approval, whichever is later.
That is my motion, Mr. Chair.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 32, House Section 32, this section requires the Commissioner of Human Services to seek federal approval to implement Minnesota Care as a basic health program. There are some technical differences, but there's also a difference in paragraph C. The House states that the cost of any program changes that are needed to obtain federal approval become part of base funding, and the Senate basically states that these costs are not shall not become part of base funding. My understanding is that the Department of Human Services is working with MMB on some replacement language for this paragraph C. They have some problems with how it's phrased.
Okay, so we understand where the differences are today, and there's some open issues, so we'll just hold on Section 32.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 33, House Section 33, this states that Minnesota Care shall be considered a public health care program for purposes of the insurance marketplace. There's a technical difference in the reference to the public health care program, and staff recommend the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate language in Section 33.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 34, House Section 34 update the listing of covered services under Minnesota Care. The main differences are that the House includes in the definition of covered services all essential health benefits. The Senate does not do this. The Senate specifically includes non-emergency medical transportation services as a covered service.
And this is a money item that will have to come at a later date, so we'll just hold on that.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 35, House Section 35, this removes a reference to coverage of pregnant women under Minnesota Care. It's a conforming change, and it's identical.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate Section 35, the identical language.
Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 36, House Section 36. This is identical language. It removes the annual inpatient hospital limit of $10,000.
It's a money item, so we could hold on it probably, even though I think it's in all three versions. But it is a money item, so we'll hold.
The next section then would be Senate Section 37, House Section 37 at the top of the next page. This deals with loss ratios, requires health coverage provided through Minnesota Care to have a medical loss ratio of at least 85%. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of the Senate Section 37, the identical language.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 38, House Section 38 deal with Minnesota Care cost sharing. And there's a money difference here. The House retains the 10% coinsurance requirement for inpatient hospital services, and the Senate eliminates this requirement.
Okay, that's a money item. We'll hold on that.
The next section, Senate Section 39, House 39, deals with liens, and it modifies the definition of state agency to replace references to prepaid health plans and county-based purchasing plans with a reference to participating entities. It's a conforming change, identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the House Section 39, the identical language.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Senate Section 40, House Section 40. This modifies the Minnesota Care income limits to cover families with children with incomes above 133% but not exceeding 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. It's identical in both bills.
You know, Mr. Chair, before I make another motion, I'm going to ask a question of the staff because Chair Huntley had suggested that it was a good form to alternate back and forth between the House and the Senate on this identical language. And so I've tried to remember to do that once in a while. But for the staff assembling the bill, does it make any difference? Is it easier for you if we just stay on one?
We'll just probably take the Senate. I mean, we'll...
But we won't tell you that.
Now, Mr. Chair, there's an issue.
Oh, you're killing me.
Just, you know, it's easier to circle one side than go back and forth.
And Mr. Chairperson Loeffler, what we actually do is when we mark up the bill, because the Senate's the base bill, even though the motion incenses the House, it's easier for the reviser to just take a clump of Senate sections.
Mr. Chair, I have always been impressed with our staff on both the House and the Senate, and anything we can do to make their life easier, we'll just assume that that's the gracious motion, and so from now on I will use the Senate base as the motion.
Mr. Chair, is it okay to call Senate language a clump?
Call it the what?
Well,
a what?
We said a clump of Senate language. I'd never heard that term, a gaggle of geese and a clump of. I kind of like it. I think we should use that more often.
Section 40 clump.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the identical language in Section 40 of the Senate bill.
On that motion, any further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 41, House Section 41, this states that an individual who is qualified for coverage under Minnesota Care is not considered a qualified individual under the Affordable Care Act, is not eligible for enrollment in a qualified health plan. There are a number of differences. There's a technical difference in which the staff recommend the Senate. There's a difference in a cross-reference to the health benefit exchange. Staff recommend the Senate, and then there's a difference in effective dates. Again, staff would recommend the Senate, so you could adopt the Senate provision.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language in Section 41.
On that motion, any questions? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just want to ask the staff, it says here there's a difference in reference to qualified individuals, and that's just non-substantive difference.
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, it's not a difference in the definition, but the House language says that you should be treated as a qualified individual, and the Senate, or not be treated as, and the Senate says you should not be considered. So it's just a technical difference in phrasing.
Any further discussion on the Loeffler motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 42, House Section 42, this modifies the Minnesota Care Income Limit, this time for individuals and families with no children, to cover those between 133% and 200% of poverty, and it's identical.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of the identical language in Senate Section 42.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section, Senate 43, House 43, it strikes language that would allow potentially eligible persons to enroll in either Minnesota Care or MA. There's a difference. The Senate strikes references to a 60-day limit on Minnesota Care enrollment for certain disabled persons and strikes a reference to an obsolete effective date. I'm sorry, obsolete date. The House does not do this. The department recommends the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate language in Section 43.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Liebling.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I just wanted to, again, just make sure that that's not a – that looks like it could be a more substantive difference, is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I think these changes, they're from the governor's proposals, and they're intended to make conforming changes to conform to the Affordable Care Act. But if you needed more information, I think the department could explain further.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Any further discussion? No?
Scurried back.
Karen, Ms. Gibson, did you have something to add to that? We don't want to make a mistake. I mean,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Karen Gibson, DHS. Just wanted to clarify that currently, because our Minnesota Care and MA programs are in two different systems and largely processed by two different entities, that time has been needed to move paper around. But because of the Affordable Care Act changes and our ability to do things on a single system, it'll be all condensed and easier to administer, should be removing barriers. We are aiming for real-time eligibility determination, so we aren't looking for the 60-day enrollment period that people will need to try and cooperate with that.
Excellent.
Good news.
Yes. Any further discussion on the Loeffler amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, let's see. Senate Section 44, House Section 44. These sections provide that lawfully present non-citizens who are not ineligible for MA are eligible for Minnesota Care up to 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. There are some grammatical and technical changes. The main change is that in paragraph B, the Senate states that families, the Senate refers to families and individuals, and the House refers to individuals. And I guess this language sort of isn't all that consistent throughout the Minnesota Care statutes in how you refer to the enrollees. But the department recommends that we take the Senate language on this.
And
I'm sorry, I should say it's a staff recommendation to take the Senate language. I think the department sort of is neutral on the terminology.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Chun, does that mean that you're recommending the Senate language on all three points where there's differences in this? Or it seemed like you were describing the first one.
I think the staff are recommending the Senate on all of the provisions. We've sort of talked further with the department about what language would work. So.
Mr. Chun, I think that part of the confusion comes in that the printed version on the second and third point say staff recommends House. Has that been
Should we take House? No. Okay. I guess we've discussed with the department. We'll take the Senate language
with
on that.
In discussions with the Senate,
all of the provisions.
Staff has determined to recommend the Senate on all three.
On the entire section.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for clarifying that. Based on that recommendation, I will move adoption of the Senate language in Senate Section 44.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 45, is Senate only. This provides that enrollees and applicants in a correctional or detention facility are eligible for Minnesota Care while they're awaiting disposition of charges.
We're going to hold on this one.
Then Senate Section 46, House Section 45 are identical. They state that individuals eligible for medical assistance are not eligible for Minnesota Care, and they also require the commission to provide seamless eligibility and access to services for persons who transition between the two programs. And it's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the Senate language on Section 46.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 47, House Section 46, these sections specify criteria for the application process, including how applications may be submitted. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I would move the identical language as reflected in Senate Section 47.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
At the top of the next page, Senate Section 48, House Section 47. This section makes conforming changes, adding references to the Exchange and the Affordable Care Act. The difference is that the Senate strikes a reference to verification of premium payment, and the House does not, and the staff would recommend the House.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House language in Section 47 of the House bill.
On that motion,
yeah, thank you,
Representative Abler.
This is something I've been trying to do some work on, and there's a section in the bill from the House side that doesn't actually work anymore based upon some Department of Revenue stuff about some verifying. I just want to raise the concern that I'm trying to fix that I don't know if I can. There's some self-employed individuals who have run their business, their home expenses for their business, and so they have a lower income, and they're going to get a higher subsidy based upon the electronic verification of the bottom line of their tax return. And so I'm working with revenue to see if there's some way the counties can submit people that they suspect of fraud to ask them if they would share data or at least look it over and see if they think there's an issue there. Because we can't be giving the counties Schedule Cs, apparently, which presents data privacy issues. But there is some people currently getting medical assistance support that do not have it coming because they're fraudulently, either by ignorance or by on purpose, filing their tax returns. So, I mean, your amendment is fine here, but I hope that we can find a way to make sure that the counties have the resource to be able to at least get some more information about this individual who's living in a house far too big for their income or has too many nice cars for what they say they're making when they're potentially fraudulent. So that's just my commentary. So I don't know. I'll try to work that in later, but I'm trying to get something to do about that. I think it's friendly to all of our interests. But this just provoked my thought on that. So I have no objection to the amendment.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I just wanted to verify whether this is a substantive difference between the House and Senate. Reference to verification of premium payment, is that just another conforming?
Mr. Chair, Representative Liebling, I think that was a drafting error. That this language went through several versions, and one of the versions did not require premiums. And when the premiums were put back, this language should have been taken out.
This was.
It's correcting existing language.
Yeah, it's correcting the Senate side. Because we had no premiums for a while, and then when we put premiums back in, this reference needed to be added. So, So on the Loeffler motion to adopt House Section 47, any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 49, House Section 48 are identical. They make conforming changes to coordinate with the Affordable Care Act in terms of effective dates. While they're identical, the department suggests that a change to both bills. If you turn to page R30, there's a paragraph E in both sides that talks about the effective date of coverage for children, and it refers to a section 256L.07 subdivision 8. Both the House and Senate repeal this provision, so the department is suggesting that paragraph E would be, or the language there would be stricken. So if you were adopting the Senate language, you would delete lines 32.11 to 32.13. This is a reference to a section that both bodies repeal in the repealer section. Sure. I guess the change would be to delete, and refer to the Senate language, lines 32.11 to 32.13. You would strike that paragraph.
Well, the whole thing.
Explain that one more time, Mr. Chung.
Do you want to? The department has pointed out that by keeping this language, there's a reference to a section, which is 256L.07 subdivision 8. It's a cross-reference that both the House and Senate bills repeal in our repealer sections.
Okay, so we're just in this, if we were to adopt
right.
this, we're making a reference to a section of law that we're
wouldn't make
both
sense because
repealing
it's repealed
later on in the bill. That
right.
makes sense to me. So, any further questions?
Mr. Chair, then I would move adoption of Senate Section 49 with the deletion of lines 32.11 to 32.13. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. On that motion, any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 50, this is a Senate-only provision, makes a technical change removing obsolete language. And the department suggests repealing the entire subdivision. And, you know, perhaps they may want to speak further on this, but they're saying that this existing subdivision doesn't conform with the anticipated regulations that will be issued under the basic health plan. Or you might want to hold and get further information.
Repeal the entirety of Section 50? So
they're suggesting to add to the repealer a repeal of the Subdivision 3C. The
for
Senate.
Retroactive coverage.
Right.
Well, we better hold on that one, I would say.
Okay.
Unless, I don't know, is the department... Oh, I see. Ms. Gibson, would you like to come up and try to...
Thank you. It's actually similar to the last issue we talked about with the provision requiring the 60-day repeal. Again, because the programs are all going to be on similar platform, et cetera, and there won't be the need to do retroactive coverage for delays or transitioning from people from MA to the Minnesota Care program. We've allowed retroactive coverage in those circumstances.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Gibson, if we are repealing language that gives you coverage, if I'm just anticipating, if we run into a technical difficulty with fully achieving all the efficiencies and instantaneous efforts that we're anticipating, are you looking at this language in terms of whether or not it would be useful to retain it for one more year in case we do need to actually cover people retroactively because there were technical difficulties in implementation?
Ms. Gibson.
Mr. Chair, no, I guess we had not actually considered that. I there
I don't think there'd be any harm. I'm kind of looking back at the crew. May not be any harm, and we could leave it and see about it next session.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Loeffler.
You know, my sense is I've never in any position ever experienced implementation of computer changes without occasional hiccups. Best of all worlds, that would never happen. But I'm just thinking, if we're going to repeal language that actually authorizes retroactive coverage because immediacy isn't possible, if we're going to repeal it, I would really want it with a delayed effective date on the repealer, if that's a possible strategy, rather than not leaving the department with an ability to serve those people who are legally eligible and have legitimate health care claims that should be covered. Maybe our staff could ponder that and work with Ms. Gibson on those things, but I really do think a little extra security in the statutes might not be a bad thing.
Okay. Maybe it's a Senate-only provision for this evening. Maybe we just continue to hold on it. If you look on R31, you know, you'll see that what the Senate was proposing was just striking an old reference to GAMC recipients that could qualify for retroactive coverage. And so we were just trying to clean things up a little bit.
Mr.
But maybe we ought to, you know, let people have now heard about this a little bit, and we can just hold on this provision for now. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my request would be that we consider doing that with all of these things that might be in other different places. Yep. And if we could just ask DHS to talk with the staff about that. As Representative Leanling said, that's sort of like flying without the safety net. Maybe we just want a little safety net for a while.
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable request, and I don't think the department's absolutely wedded to getting rid of this paragraph from the indications I'm getting. So, all right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senate Section 51, House Section 49, this removes reference to disenrollment for failure to pay premiums. It's, again, conforming to changes in the Affordable Care Act. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the identical language as reflected in Section 51 of the Senate bill.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section, Senate Section 52, House Section 50, this just, you know, makes changes discussed earlier in the Minnesota Care Income Limit. It makes a reference to 200% of the poverty guidelines. It strikes some references to the Minnesota insurance barriers, which are modified in later sections, and makes some conforming changes. There are some language differences. The House replaces a reference to parents with individuals and provides a cross-reference to adults without children. The Senate refers to families and individuals, and the department recommends the House language.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the House language in Section 50.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 53, House Section 51, this deals with one of the Minnesota Care Insurance barriers. It provides that persons with access to subsidized health coverage that is affordable and provides minimum value as defined in federal regulations are not eligible for Minnesota Care. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the identical language as reflected in Senate Section 53.
On that motion, any further discussion? Representative Abler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't want to nit at all this, but I just saw Mr. Lights and Dr. Golden hanging around there, and I think if they're listening outside in the hallway or wherever they went, this is the kind of question I have a question about. I don't mind if you adopt it, but when you take away disenrollment for non-payment, up earlier on the page we did that Section 51, I think that actually has a cost to it. I think it's a choice you're making to make it a friendlier benefit set. Currently, if you don't pay, you're out for 4 months. And so to get rid of that negative part about the thing that people don't like actually costs money. And I think this business about
this paragraph probably costs money because it excludes people that used to have insurance. And so feel free to adopt it, but I would, what my request is that if we can have an inventory of all the things that whoever is doing in the bill that were elective, that had a cost to them, then we would say, oh, gee, we're running short. We wish we could buy something else.
You know, that's my question. Is actually not an elective option. This is a requirement of the Affordable Care Act, as is the disenrollment one that we adopted a couple of sections ago. Those are both ACA conformity.
All right. And I'm ignorant of some of those, Mr. Chair. So just if where we had the option or not, it just would be nice.
I've been trying, and I appreciate.
No, I don't think you're going to even notice them all, but I think that the department does know those things, and it'd be nice to have an inventory just so you can know what we bought and what choices you made. I think it'd be hard to. It's going to be hard to hit our target. Sorry.
Okay. Any other discussion on the Loeffler amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section is Senate Section 54, House Section 52. This modifies another insurance barrier. It provides that a family or individual must not have minimum essential health coverage to be eligible for Minnesota Care. And there's some differences in language, and the department recommends the Senate on these differences, or recommends the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, Section 54.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 55, House Section 53, both bills strike a reference to pregnant women. You know, this is a conforming change. The difference is the Senate strikes a cross-reference to the MA residency requirement. The House does not, and the department recommends the Senate language.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of Senate Section 55.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 56, is Senate only. It states that payments to providers are at the same rates and conditions established under MA except as otherwise provided.
That's a Senate-only money provision. We'll hold on that.
And, Mr. Chair, Senate Section 57, Senate only, makes coordinating changes to inpatient hospital rates to specify that the rate paid is the MA rate.
Another Senate-only provision. We'll hold on that.
Mr. Chair, the next section is House only. It strikes language related to the annual inpatient hospital benefit and makes related changes. And this is tied to the issue of coinsurance for inpatient care. So I think that's a money difference.
Right. That's another, that's a House only that's, money will hold. Right.
Then the next section, Senate Section 58, House Section 55. These sections require DHS to establish a competitive process for contracting with participating entities to offer standard health plans, and these would be available beginning January 1 of 2015. The difference here is the House in Subdivision 1 specifies criteria for the procurement process to be used in rural areas that are not MSAs, and this language isn't in the Senate bill. And there's also a technical difference in reference to the exchange.
This one has some relatively substantial issues. We'll probably require more conversation, so we'll just hold on this section.
Then turning to the next page, Senate Section 59, House Section 56. It strikes references to non-payment of premiums for pregnant women and children, and this is a conforming change. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of the Senate Section 59 language.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 50, House Section 57, I think you'd probably want to hold on. This deals with the sliding scale premium scale and the the Senate establishes a new scale that reduces premiums by 50%, and the House does not do this.
I was going to take a stab at adopting it, but I'll hold.
Yeah, Huntley's gone. Go for it. You won't notice. Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And I just wanted to go back just to Senate, just a comment. I'm not sure. I'm not going to be here on Saturday, and I'll be at my clinic early tomorrow morning, so I don't know if you're going to come back to that tomorrow. But on Section 58, that has to do with competitive bidding and county-based purchasing, I think.
Yep.
And so I hope we can get some testimony about that when that time comes, so then the committee will be informed. So.
Yeah, I'm certain there will be a bit more lengthy conversation. Again, this was kind of the walkthrough, and as we're doing it, we're just adopting the same and similar with little controversy so that we're populating that otherwise empty conference committee report, and staff can get to work assembling that, and it makes
I'm just calling attention to that section.
A little better.
You
yes,
did mention, but we didn't say what it was. I'm just telling people what it kind of is about.
Yes, it was county-based purchasing.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not criticizing the chair, Mr. Chair.
Hmm?
I'm not criticizing you.
No, it's all good. We're good. Section
Mr. Chair,
61.
The next section is Senate only. Senate 61 modifies the effective date for a definition of the Affordable Care Act, and I believe Senate staff have an amendment related to this. It's the
A-59
amendment.
Yeah.
And what this amendment would do, it would be to change the effective date as the original Senate provision did, but it also modifies the actual definition of the Affordable Care Act to match up with the definition of Affordable Care Act that the committee adopted, you know, earlier in this article.
Mr. Chair, we're trying to get the definition of Affordable Care Act the same in this bill, in the Market Rules Bill, and in House File 9, Chapter 1 that we passed earlier this session.
So how's this that going for you?
Well, with this, we're getting there.
Okay. You know, I think we could adopt the A-59 to the Senate language for sure. Maybe I could get Representative Loeffler to move the A-59 amendment to the Senate language.
Mr. Chair, I would I'm just clarifying. Does this go beyond the current Senate language? So it's... It is the Senate language plus the A-59, or do I move the 59
Mr. Chair and Representative Loeffler, what this does is it currently what we're doing is we go into the Chapter 1 that we passed earlier this year on the, you know, the MA expansion. That had a definition of the Affordable Care Act in it. The department wanted us to change that effective date, but what we're doing with this is we are also changing the definition of Affordable Care Act in that already passed Chapter 1. So the definitions will be the same in the conference committee report in that. And so at the end of the day, hopefully we'll have the exact same definition throughout the chapter, throughout all the chapters for Affordable Care Act.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Kavanaugh, I understood that, and
okay.
I believe it. I support having things less confusing and identical wherever we can. My question was about, I noticed on the A-59 amendment that line 1.16 asks us to delete Section 61, and I thought the chairman was suggesting that we're adding A-59 to that area. So I wasn't sure if the motion should be actually just to adopt the A-59 amendment and not reference in any way the section in the Senate bill.
Representative Loeffler, I think it would be adopting the A-59 amendment in its entirety to the Senate language, so it would also remove that that section 61 on R-42.
Right, and replace it with this.
And replace it with this.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
And the
we'll get it to
the
work.
Section 61 was simply the effective date yeah. inadvertently put in as January 1, 2014, and it was supposed to be July 1, 2013. And so the Senate That's language was initially intended just to do that, but now we got this definition issue in the same section, and so we're trying to correct that as well. So if we adopted the 859, it doesn't go into the conference committee report yet. We're just changing the Senate language in the reviser side by side.
Okay.
It'll be the effect of the 859 at this point.
Okay. It'll work.
It'll work. Senate, I don't know. State Council, what do you want us to do?
Adopt the...
And into the conference committee report?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the motion that's requested.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the A59 amendment into the conference committee report.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 62 and House Section 58, requires the Commissioners of Revenue and Management and Budget to conduct an assessment of health care taxes and their relationship to the long-term solvency of the Health Care Access Fund as part of the November 13 forecasts, and there to report results and recommendations for any changes to state revenue for the fund if there's a decision that or determination that state funding will continue to be required. There's a difference in the head note, which staff would recommend the Senate. There's also a difference in who the report goes to. The Senate requires a report to legislative chairs, the House to the legislature, and the staff recommend the Senate. So I guess the staff recommend the Senate on the, for the entire provision.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of Senate Section 62.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, the next several sections are House-only provisions. House Section 59 would require the Commissioners of Health, Human Services, and Commerce and the Board of the Exchange to study whether a Minnesota-based risk adjustment of the individual and small group market using either the federal risk adjustment model or a state-based alternative can be more cost-effective and provide better performance than risk adjustment if it were conducted by federal agencies.
And I think this one's going to require a little bit more discussion. We'll hold on this one for tonight.
The next section, House Section 60, requires DHS to seek federal authority to allow persons under age 65 who are in a home and community-based services waiver to continue to disregard spousal income and assets. This language, I think, is an alternative to some earlier Senate language on the waiver.
That's a House-only provision. We'll hold on this one.
The next section, House Section 61, it would state that it's the intent of this act that Minnesota pursue market-based solutions to healthcare delivery reform, it's not the intent to advance or implement policies leading to a single-payer system.
Maybe we should hold on that
one. Do you want to hold on that one, or you could move it and we could be done with it maybe? We'll hold on that one.
Mr. Chair, the next section is actually from House Article 10, Section 35. It's, you know, being compared in this article. It prohibits employees of the exchange from requesting, soliciting, or offering information related to voter registration in the course of their duties.
We'll hold on this one as well. Mm-hmm.
Then the next section, Senate 63 and House 62, this is identical. It's a reviser instruction to remove references to repealed sections and make conforming changes.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate Section 63.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 54 and House Section 63, is the repealer section, and staff would suggest you hold on this until other decisions are made.
Okay. That makes sense. So we'll hold on that. I think that probably concludes what we were hoping to get through tonight. Did we have indications of what we're going to work on tomorrow? Do you want to Article 2, if everyone's ready, and start at starting at 8 a.m., recessing. Recessing around 10 and reconvening later in the afternoon again, probably around 6 o'clock would be the target. We'll work on it. We have session tomorrow too, right? Yeah. But we're going to try to go in order, and, you know, if there isn't same and similar provisions with little controversy, we'll just go through it in the historical way where we just kind of understand the differences. But on those articles where there are identical or similar provisions and we can adopt them, we'll adopt this approach. But I think it's a good piece of work tonight. And with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you.